The U.S.-Iran conflict has entered a phase that strategists have been warning about for years, the digitization of warfare against civilian infrastructure. What we're seeing described now is an expansion of hostilities to data centers, power plants, and water systems. This isn't just military to military. When you hit a water system, you are targeting civilian populations in a way that is both strategically potent and deeply destabilizing, because it erodes the Iranian government's core claim of competence to its own people.
And yet, Iranian President Pezeshkian is publicly claiming that citizens didn't feel the war. He's crediting coordinated governance and regional cooperation for shielding daily life. There are two ways to read that statement. One is that it's largely accurate, that Iranian civil resilience and the dispersed nature of their infrastructure held up better than the strikes anticipated. The other reading is that it's political management. A president trying to maintain domestic legitimacy while his country absorbs significant infrastructure damage. The truth is probably some combination, but the gap between Pezeshkian's public posture and the reality of cyber attacks on water systems is a gap worth watching.
Meanwhile, Treasury Secretary Bessent said on Friday that a 30 to 60 day ceasefire agreement to reopen the Strait of Hormuz is close, potentially as soon as today, but that Iran is pushing back on new sanctions being layered into any deal. That's a fundamental negotiating impasse. From Iran's perspective, agreeing to a ceasefire while accepting additional sanctions is agreeing to lose twice. From Washington's perspective, sanctions are leverage, and you don't give up leverage in exchange for a temporary halt. Bessent's public optimism may be genuine, or it may be pressure tactics. Announcing that a deal could come today sometimes moves the other party's timeline.
The most consequential domestic signal on Iran came not from the White House, but from within the Pentagon. A top U.S. general has been privately pushing for an off-ramp from the Iran conflict. When senior military officers are seeking exits rather than escalation paths, that's a serious data point. Military leaders don't often break with administration strategy in even private settings. The fact that it's reached reporting suggests a level of institutional concern about where this conflict leads if it continues. The Senate simultaneously passing a sanctions bill targeting both Russia and Iran, named for Lindsey Graham, who died earlier this year, indicates Congress wants more pressure, not less. The executive branch and military appear to want an exit. That tension between branches and between civilian and military leadership is where the story actually lives.
On the Russia-Ukraine front, Zelensky was in Serbia this week for diplomatic talks, even as fresh Russian strikes hit Kyiv. Serbia is a fascinating venue. It has historically close ties to Moscow and has resisted full alignment with Western sanctions. Zelensky visiting Belgrade is about trying to peel away the last pockets of Russian diplomatic cover in Eastern Europe. Whether that succeeds depends on whether Serbia sees more economic and political benefit in a post-war European order than in continued ambiguity. The strikes on Kyiv while talks happen elsewhere are Russia's standard technique: military pressure as diplomatic punctuation.